But this is the Discworld, which has not only the turtle, but also the four giant elephants on which the wide, slowly turning wheel of the world revolves. People wonder how this works, since a terrestrial elephant would be unlikely to bear a revolving load for any length of time without some serious friction burns. But you may as well ask why the axle of a planet doesn't squeak, or where love goes, or what sound yellow makes. There is the Circle Sea, approximately halfway between the hub and the rim. Around it are those countries which, according to history, constitute the civilized world, i.e. a world that can support historians. Ephib, Tussaut, Omnia, Klatch, and the sprawling city-state of Ankh-Morpork. This is a story that starts somewhere else, where a man is lying on a raft in a blue lagoon under a sunny sky. His head is resting on his arms. He is happy. In his case, a mental state so rare as to be almost unprecedented. He is whistling an amiable little tune and dangling his feet in the crystal clear water. They are pink feet with 10 toes that look like little piggy-wiggies. From the point of view of a shark skimming over the reef, they look like lunch, dinner, and tea. It was, as always, a matter of protocol, of discretion, of careful etiquette, of, ultimately, alcohol, or at least the illusion of alcohol. Lord Vetinari, as supreme ruler of Ankh-Morpork, could in theory summon the Arch-Chancellor of Unseen University to his presence, and indeed have him executed if he failed to obey. On the other hand, Mustrum Ridcully, as head of the College of Wizards, had made it clear in polite but firm ways that he could turn him into a small amphibian, and indeed start jumping around the room on a pogo stick. Alcohol bridged the diplomatic gap nicely. Sometimes Lord Vetinari invited the Arch-Chancellor to the palace for a convivial drink, and of course the Arch-Chancellor went, because it would be bad manners not to. And everyone understood the position, and everyone was on their best behaviour, and thus civil unrest and slime on the carpet were averted. It was a beautiful afternoon. Lord Vetinari was sitting in the palace gardens, watching the butterflies with an expression of mild annoyance. He found something very slightly offensive about the way they just fluttered around enjoying themselves in an unprofitable way. He looked up. "Ah, Arch-Chancellor," he said. "So good to see you. Do sit down. I trust you are well." "Yes, indeed," said Mustrum Ridcully. And yourself? You are in good health?"
"Never better. The weather, I see, has turned out nice again."
"I thought yesterday was particularly fine, certainly."
"Tomorrow, I am told, could well be even better."
"We could certainly do with a fine spell."
"Yes, indeed."
"Yes."
"Ah,
certainly." They watched the butterflies. A butler brought long, cool drinks.
"What is it they actually do with the flowers?" said Lord Vetinari.
"What?" The patrician shrugged.
"Never mind. It was not at all important. But since you are here, Arch-Chancellor, having dropped by on your way to something infinitely more important, I am sure most kind, I wonder if you could tell me, who is the great wizard?"
Ridcully considered this.
The Dean, possibly," he said. "He must be all of 20 stone. "Somehow I feel that is not perhaps the right answer," said Lord Vetinari. "I suspect from context that great means superior."
"Ah, not the Dean, then," said Ridcully. Lord Vetinari tried to recollect the Faculty of Unseen University. The mental picture that emerged was of a small range of foothills in pointy hats.
"The context does not, I feel, suggest the Dean," he said.
What context would this be?" said Ridcully. The patrician picked up his walking stick.
"Come this way," he said. "I suppose you had better see for yourself. It is very